As part of our evening sermon series, we've been looking at the book of Joshua and how the Israelites have been conquering the promised land. And it struck me as we come to our passage tonight how relevant it is on this 100th anniversary of the First World War, and as we remember those that have given their lives in the other wars and other conflicts all over the world still to this day. And what struck me was that on the 6th of June 1944, famously known for D-Day, was that the war was won. It was a day of celebration. But some battles were still left to be fought. People still had to wait another 11 months until May the 8th, 1945, until the Nazis unconditionally surrendered to the Allied forces. And only then was VE Day declared. And the time between D-Day and VE Day still required the Allied forces to be persevering, to be diligent, to have courage, to have faith that the final victory could be won. There was still work to do, even though the war had been won. There were still battles left to fight. And in many ways, that sets the scene of our Bible passage today, as the Israelites had pretty much won the war for the promised land. But there were still some battles to win. D-Day had been won, but they still had to fight in order to ensure total victory. In our passage tonight, we heard them dividing up the land, both sides of the River Jordan. 9.5 tribes to the west and 2.5 to the east. But they too, in the dividing up of the land, had to be diligent and to be courageous and to have faith that the final victory could be won, so that all of Israel could know peace. We've also learned over previous weeks that the reason God was carving out this promised land for the Israelites was so that they could be like a great vine who could bear fruit as they worshipped God truthfully, so that the whole world might come and taste and see that God is good. So in securing peace in the promised land, this was the beginnings of securing peace for the whole world. And our passage tonight, chapter 14, actually marks the beginning of a section in Joshua that ends with chapter 17. And chapter 14 has this great hero, Caleb, that we know of, who lives faithfully in this time between the Israelites' D-Day, if you like, and the Israelite VE Day. And at the end of chapter 17, there's a contrast with the Josephites, who are divided up to his adopted sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, who aren't as courageous as Caleb. And I want us to think a little bit tonight about what it means to live between D-Day and VE Day, and these examples of Caleb and the Josephites. So first of all, Caleb, he was a hero, one of the original spies to spy out the promised land. And it was him and Joshua that came back and said, yes, now is the time for us to take the land that the God has promised us. But of course, there were 12 spies and the other 10, the others apart from Caleb and Joshua, bottled it. They said, no, we can't. Our enemies are too strong. And because they didn't listen to God, that then meant that they had to wander around the wilderness, famously, for 40 years. So that generation would then die out. But Joshua and Caleb were spared because of their faithfulness. To hear tonight, 40 years later, we hear Caleb, and he's as fervent as ever. In verses 6, 9, and 10, we see that Caleb is wholehearted and obedient to his God, Yahweh. He's living faithfully between that time of D-Day and VE Day, if you like. The word obedient has the word audio in it, which is where we get our word audio, to listen, to hear, to listen to God and to obey God. To obey God is to hear God and put what he says into practice. That's exactly what we see in the life of Caleb. In chapter 17, you can look it up later, but that's when we see the Josephites. And later on, they're timid and doubting. They want to take part of the land, but they're frightened of the enemy that still occupy it. They have these iron chariots, it says in chapter 17, and we're still afraid of them. They're timid and doubting and insecure in the promises that God has promised them. The word we use for absurd has the word sardus in it, which means literally to refuse to listen or to be deaf. When you think about it, Israel had every reason to be totally secure in the promises of God. He had led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and despite their rebellion, he had provided them for them carefully and diligently every day through the manna and quail, providing water, everything they needed for those 40 years. They had won victory, the war had been won, D-Day had been declared, but these Josephites were still timid. They were being absurd, failing to listen to the promises of God and to live them out. So Joshua has these two contrasts for us to think about. To be obedient, to hear God, and to be totally confident of his victories. You know, the land that Caleb still had to conquer was probably the most strongly held territory of the land yet to be taken. It had the great cities, the great fortified cities. But Caleb is fervent as ever, says, no, God has promised this. We will take the land with the Lord's help. And yet the Josephites, they are timid, refusing to listen to the promises of God. In many ways, we live between a D-Day and a VE-Day. 2,000 years ago, Jesus' death and resurrection marked D-Day. The war is won. Jesus' death has conquered all sin and all death. And we live in the light of that D-Day. And yet we look forward to Jesus' VE-Day, when he comes again, when sin and death will be no more. But yes, in between those times, we still have to be courageous and faithful and diligent, trusting, being obedient to the promises of God, in total confidence that he will deliver on his promises. How can we be confident of his promises? Well, because he's proved faithful time and time again. For the Israelites in their recent history, he had delivered them from Egypt. He had provided for them and he had helped them conquer, against all odds, the promised land. In Jesus, we can be totally confident in the promises of God because of who he was and what he said and what he did and what he achieved for us. The early church and their witness, and the witness throughout all history, and as many of us will testify today, of God's promises fulfilled for us in Jesus. And yet we must remain faithful and courageous and obedient as we live out in the light of those promises. It's often a privilege to speak at funerals. And one of the stories I like to share, which when I first heard it touched me deeply, and some of you would have heard this before, is the story of Vasco da Gama. He was an explorer from Portugal who in 1497 set out to try and reach India. And at that time, you could either go to India across land, across Spain and Italy and all the way through, but that was a very dangerous route to take, and often the caravans were attacked because they were very wealthy caravans. So they thought, but no one knew if you could get to India around the bottom of Africa. But they thought you could do it, and many had tried, and many actually shipwrecks were caused at the bottom of South Africa. To the point at actually the Cape, at the very bottom tip of South Africa, they called it the Cape of Storms because so many had lost their lives trying to get through round the Cape. But in 1497, Vasco da Gama and his fleet made it. And they got all the way to India and they loaded up their ships and their fleet with all the great riches and spices and wealth that India could afford. And they made it back again around the Cape of Storms back to Portugal, bringing back so much wealth that actually Portugal became a great superpower of that era. They renamed that cape from the Cape of Storms to what it's known as today, the Cape of Good Hope. And in many ways, this points us to Jesus' death and resurrection. Before Jesus, no one knew if there was life after death. All that people knew was the Cape of Storms. But because Jesus rose again from the dead, we know that there is life after death, that there is a glorious future that awaits us, the India, if you like, full of riches and wonders and splendor and of peace and of joy and of presence with God. And we know that that awaits us because Jesus came back through the Cape of Storms in his resurrection and brings us good hope and offers us eternal life when we put our trust in him. He has won D-Day, and VE Day is coming very soon. How then do we wish to live in the light of this amazing news? Do we want to be absurd and not trust God and not listen, to be deaf to what his promises are, refusing to listen to what he's told us through scripture, through his church throughout the ages, through the witness of the early apostles, through Jesus, his son himself? Being timid, insecure, not knowing if there is anything out there beyond this life? Or do we want to be like Caleb, strong and confident in the promises of God because God had always been faithful in the past? He knew that God would be faithful again. Perhaps we could be like Caleb to one another, sharing God's light, encouraging one another, that although we might be experiencing a Cape of Storms, we know the one who can turn those storms into hope. As we cast our eyes on that beautiful table, each of those lives that encourage us and strengthen us, those lives that we missed, we know that when they're trusting in Jesus, they've gone through the storm into hope ahead of us. My prayer for each one here is that we might grow more confident in the promises of God, that we can know him, that we can know him eternally, and that he will lead us through the Cape of Storms to good hope, to eternal life, where there will be no more suffering or sickness or death or disease or pain or war, but a life with God in complete peace. Amen.